Good morning, everyone. It is October 19th, 2021. This is the ADK Homeroom, your home away from homeroom. I am your host, Frank. I am here because I cannot be there. I cannot be in my old homeroom, the classroom, because even though I am fully vaccinated and I have an ADA exemption, they will not let me come into the classroom without a mask. So here I am on the internet hosting this fantastic podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Hit me up at ADK Homeroom on Twitter. Let me know your feedback. Subscribe here and post some comments here. Let me know what you are thinking. Here in the Adirondacks, we had a cold one last night. Down in the 30s. Two cold ones in a row, in fact. The dog keeps asking to go out in the middle of the night, though, so she loves it. We had snow up on the mountaintops yesterday. Everything covered in white. It will be frosting us pretty soon down here. Maybe I'll go out today. My truck will have that nice winter rhyme on it. Not rhyme in the poetic sense. Let's hope. Let's hope for winter. Speaking of hope, I need some. I need to find a way forward here because I was talking with a friend yesterday, and my friend is a nuclear engineer. I have a lot of friends who are nuclear engineers, and unfortunately, of course, most of them work in fields that aren't nuclear engineering at all because the nuclear industry is not in a good spot right now. This friend actually does still work in the nuclear engineering field, but mostly he goes around and shuts down old nuclear power plants. And he's saying to me yesterday, Frank, I just don't get it. We have this deadline coming up here in New York State. Technically, I'm a state employee because of the work that I do. And I'm going to lose my job if I don't get vaccinated. Now, speaking as your host, Frank, I am fully vaccinated. I do recommend that adults get vaccinated. But I hear what my friend is saying. He's actually fairly young, and he says he knows that this disease isn't likely to be deadly for him. He worries about myocarditis. He worries about pericarditis. And he's saying to me, it's obvious to me that we're approaching 5 million dead in the world. That's about 0.06%, which would be about 0.04% per year from COVID, been going on about a year and a half now. And at that rate, he says, we'll all be dead in, oh yeah, never, because even in 2020, the horrific pandemic year, the world population still grew at 1.05%. 1.05% world population growth rate, even during this pandemic year. You know, and he's telling me that he's young, even if he weren't young, as long as you're not in an institution, the death rate is something like 0.2% from this disease. And he is young on top of all that. And he's wondering, why do people keep constantly telling him that the planet needs to stop? Concerts need to stop. Sports needs to stop. Youth activities need to stop. Kids seeing each other's faces. Kids having a prom where their faces aren't covered up. That needs to stop. Why, he's asking me, why don't we ever hear anybody standing up and saying, hey, you know what, maybe we're not so sure about this. Maybe this is new to us. Maybe this is hard for us to deal with. You know, we went from no masks to masks to no masks to masks in the space of about 16 months. We went from wait for vaccines to vaccines are the saviors to fireworks across New York State decreed by the governor to end COVID to vaccines, ooh, they're not quite good enough unless we go from 60% vaccinated to 85% vaccinated. That's the magic number right in there. And he's saying, why can't I see people just stand up and say, it's hard to figure this out. We're just not sure. Why can't they admit that they don't know? Well, that is the topic of today's podcast. I'm going to tell you why you don't see people standing up and saying this. One reason is there are some people doing that, but they don't have the huge platforms. The ones that do tend to mix in statements that are not especially factual, shall we say, with some of their other rhetoric. And the ones that do just stick to the facts as much as possible, the ones that tend to be the most rational out there, they also subscribe to this rationalist philosophy of engagement. And I will get to that in more detail in a second. But this rationalist philosophy of engagement, where you believe in just sticking to the facts, you believe in looking at the data, you believe in recalibrating your viewpoints based on the evidence, not based on tribal affiliation, not based on what you want to be true or what would be nice if it were true, but actually what is true. This sort of approach these days is all tied up in a very poor philosophy of engagement. And I will get to that in a second. But that's why. That's why you're not seeing, other than a few people who have small platforms, or a few people who have larger platforms but mix in some unfortunately irrational point of view statements with their otherwise reasonable statements that we're just not sure what's going on. There are people out there who are just sticking to what is true. They're not saying anything crazy, but some of them have big platforms, right? But they are not being effective at standing up. In fact, they're not really standing up at all, right? And I am thinking here about people like Tyler Cowen. He is probably the poster child for this. I feel a little bit bad calling him out because he's a good guy. He has a good heart. He does stick to just the facts. But we need people like Tyler to stand up and start calling people out. We need people to stand up and be heroes. Stand up in a sit-down world. We have people out there who are spreading bullshit, complete bullshit. And the people who have the giant platforms and could call them out on their BS, they are not doing it effectively. They're saying, well, let's see, the expected value of this really doesn't support your conclusions. No, you need to stand up and say, this is bullshit, shut the hell up, you've lost all credibility. That's what we need to hear. But they're trapped in this philosophy of engagement, which I will explain, and I'll explain the origins of it as we move through here. So first we're going to go over exactly what the problem is, what are the symptoms, the sources of the problem, and finally the cure for the problem. So let's begin here. What exactly is the problem? Well, as I say, they're not calling people out. Here's the first case in point. The Duke ABC study. Right? This came out from Danny Benjamin and Kinesia Zimmerman at the end of the summer, 2021. Claims to show that masking worked in North Carolina public schools. It is complete nonsense. The emperor has no clothes. The emperor has fewer clothes here than Megan Fox did at the Met Gala. The emperor is naked and nobody needs to see that. What was wrong with this study? Well, among other things, it had no control. Then the New York Times printed it. The New York Times supported this study. People in North Carolina are going along with the study. And nobody's calling them out. Or the people that call them out are way too timid about calling them out. For example, Reason Magazine, right? What does Reason Magazine say about this? Reason Magazine looks at this and they say, let me find the quote here. Here it is. It says, it's Jacob Sullum. I don't know if he wrote the headline, though. Maybe he didn't write the headline. The evidence that the benefits outweigh the costs is not nearly as impressive as mask mandate enthusiasts imply. That is not as good as saying these people are morons. They should be mocked, right? We should be out there. We should be saying, Kinesian Benjamin, wow. Great study. This is your idea of science? Oh, that's super. Guess that epidemiology department in Duke is really good. Hey, you guys, you know what you do? You know why you hang an epidemiology degree from Duke? Why you hang an epidemiology degree from Duke off your rearview mirror? So you can park in the handicapped spots. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to call these people out on it. They are being completely foolish. They are wrong. They are fundamentally incorrect, right? How many epidemiologists does it take from Duke to screw in a light bulb? Only one, but she gets 4 credit hours for it, right? This is what we need to hear. This deserves scorn. It deserves contempt. It deserves disdain. People need to look at these epidemiologists from Duke and they need to say, this is middle school science fair, crappy ass, no control type stuff funded by tax money, and people who doing it are wrong and they should feel bad, right? And these people out there, they're doing these studies and they have the gall to sit there and tell us that we should listen to them or that we're denying science, and they're putting out this complete crap that has no control in the study, nothing to compare the actual mask use to. They just say, oh, here's our results. Here's people that use masks. Clearly masks work. Don't even bother to compare it to a population where there aren't any masks. But yet the other side, the rationalists who look at this and say, oh, maybe that's not a good study, and that have these big platforms like Reason, instead of saying, these people are complete idiots, they're pushing lies on you, instead of saying stuff like that, you're getting stuff like, ooh, the evidence doesn't nearly seem as strong as you seem to think it is. No, that is not the way to attack it here. You need to attack it. The problem is that people are not standing up and no one is calling out these people. Another study, take, for example, Derek Chu, right? Derek K. Chu. Now, he is the lead author on this super famous study from the summer of 2020 that was the main thing that the WHO cited when they changed their guidance on mask mandates the first time. And they went from no mask to yes mask mandates the first time. This was the 172 study meta-analysis. And of course, it's being torn apart 6 months later by everybody and his brother. And of course, people like me tore it apart immediately when it came out, even though the WHO and the CDC still cited it for a long time after on their web pages. And, you know, Derek K. Chu was choosing crap in this article, and nobody's calling out on it. The Babylon Bee and the Onion, they are too nice for this guy, right? An apple a day keeps the doctor away if you aim it well enough. This guy needs some apples, metaphorically, not physically. We don't want violence thrown his way. Now, here's the other thing. Even in Derek Chu's study, he says that his own confidence in the results is low. He says it plain as day, and yet he keeps getting cited. So we not only need to hold him accountable for claiming to know something about COVID and for recommending things when his analysis out of these 172 studies, only like 4 of them actually even addressed a community setting for masking. We need to hold everybody that's quoting them accountable. There is enough evidence out there now that these are not innocent mistakes, right? The CDC and the FDA, you can look at Scott Alexander's articles on the FDA. There is incompetence throughout the CDC, throughout the FDA. When this epidemic began, the CDC was still taking reports one at a time by fax. That was their response to a new emerging deadly pandemic, was to take case reports one at a time by fax in 2020. That's right. That's what was going on. And the FDA, go read Scott Alexander, go read pretty much any honest assessment of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. They're killing people through incompetence over there. Alex Tabarrok has been good about this. Other people have been very good about this. Even Tyler Cowen has been great about this. But we need to stand up more forcefully. You can't just sit there and say, ooh, I think that actually the marginal utility of this is not what you seem to think it is. No, you have to make fun of these people. They have completely failed us. They are so far outside the realm of competence that they can't even see competence with the Mauna Kea telescope. They have no idea what competence even looks like. They're not even trying to accomplish the same goals as what we would think they should be trying to accomplish. They are the Scott Norwoods of the sciences, right? Remember Scott Norwood, Buffalo Bills kicker, missed that field goal in the Super Bowl. He had one job to do it, and he failed. That is epidemiology right now. You had one job. Your job was to stop the pandemic, control the pandemic, make the pandemic better. You have failed it miserably, right? You see those people posting these memes out there. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing again and again and again, even when it doesn't work. Well, la-di-frickin-duh, right? Duh. And yet people keep quoting the CDC. People keep quoting the FDA. And nobody is calling them out on it effectively. You need to emphasize how stupid that is. You need to emphasize that that is irrational, that that is anti-science, to keep relying on these agencies when they have been wrong again and again and again and have so utterly failed to do even the basic portions of their job. They're horrible. They're not just, oh, don't have enough evidence yet. They're not just, well, I really kind of disagree on this, but let's hear your side of it. No, they are wrong, and it's time to be done with them. All right, let's go on to piece two. So that's the first piece, is that the problem is that nobody is calling these people out effectively and viciously enough. It's time to be vicious. No one is calling them out effectively enough or viciously enough. Now, piece two. Let's look at piece two. So piece two, what are the symptoms that we have from this problem? Well, the symptoms from this problem, some of them I certainly just mentioned, but continuing on, you've got, you know, Duke giving tenure to these people. You have 50% suicide attempts up nationwide among adolescents over 2019 level. And my school, hospitalization for suicide are up 250% over 2019 levels. This is not the time to be nice about it. You know, this is pants on fire, conflagration of denim, smoke in your eyes, lying that is going on. And we have been completely ineffective by attempting to engage it with this polite sort of, let me discuss with you why I think you might be wrong, right? Here's a symptom. Here, and again, I feel a little bad calling Tyler Cowen out here because he really is absolutely an S-tier public intellectual. He's fantastic, but you need more. We need more, Tyler. What's going on is not enough. So here's the symptom. His recent interview, right, with Dr. Srinivasan, Ami Srinivasan, utopian feminist fame. I think she's from Oxford. And she was so rude to him in his podcast. She treated him like crap. She told him that he couldn't use the word incels for involuntary celibate individuals, because even though the literal meaning or the etymological meaning of that word is people who are involuntarily celibate, he can't use that word because the incels do things that she doesn't like. That's literally what she said. If you look at it, she says, you can't use that word because here's what incels do, and that's bad. That she's saying, you know, that she's taking the words out of his mouth without any reason, just for her whims, because she doesn't like what incels do. She doesn't like what the way that they say that women can't be incels. She doesn't like some of the things they say. So she takes their word away. She says that you can't use the word. She doesn't even take it away for herself. She says that Tyler can't use their word. She's stealing their own name. And Tyler's like, oh, okay, I'm just not going to call you out on that. We're just going to keep going. Well, what did it lead to? Well, later in that same interview, emboldened Srinivasan, she goes on and she says, Tyler, you said disabled men. And she implies that he's a bad guy for talking about disabled men instead of disabled individuals. And Tyler says, I think I said disabled individuals. And she says, no, you didn't. And Tyler just accepts that and goes on. And of course, he was right. And Amia was wrong. Okay, so he couldn't remember. He was polite to her in the conversation. Nothing so terrible about that. But then the next day, in his blog, Tyler posts a classic praise sandwich, feeds Dr. Srinivasan the classic praise sandwich. He lists like five or six things on his blog about this interview, and he says, yeah, people are upset that she bullied me. Yeah, people are upset that she was super rude to me, but you know what? She's really great. And he lists like two or three things about how awesome she is. And then right in the middle of it, right in the middle of his list, he lists one thing and he says, oh, yeah, you know, she could have been better at this. And furthermore, I think that is a major failing. So don't accuse me of being too soft on her because she did this wrong. And that is a major failing. And then he goes on and he says, oh, by the way, here's two more things she does that she's really super at. And these are far more important than another one bad thing that she does. And I think she's great. She's a super talent. And, you know, Oxford is really good at spotting talents. So if you don't trust me, maybe trust Oxford. She's really great. You know, that's how he responds to this person coming in and straight up bullying him. That's your symptom. You need to stand up to these people. If you have a giant platform like you have, Tyler, hats off to you. You've built it over a couple decades, and you deserve it. You've done a great job, Tyler, and you are an S-tier public intellectual without a doubt. And almost most of the stuff you say is fantastic. But the way that you say it matters. And if you're talking and giving praise here and there, and you're not emphasizing the fact that Srinivasan is a complete bully, she is irrational, she's basing her views on things that are separate from reality, and in the interview, you know, Tyler brings up the fact that, well, maybe she's not really relying on the data as much as she could have, and she protests, of course, that no, that data is wrong, and of course she does rely on data, but she doesn't, and that needs to be emphasized, that she's not looking at actual physical reality. And she needs to be called out on it. So anyway, that this section is on the symptoms, and that's your symptom right there. That's an example of what's going on. Our best, our S-tier intellectuals on the side of rationality are getting bullied. All right, now the source of the problem. I promise you I'll get to this. The source of the problem is this rationalist philosophy of engagement. It goes back to Yudkowsky and the I guess you could call it sort of the beginning of the rationalist movement. And people believe that on the rational movement that we should engage with others. Now, here's a nice summary of it. I just found this. It's from Elizabeth Williams. She wrote a thesis at U Tennessee. And I don't know that this is particularly significant thesis. I really haven't read the whole thing, but I just plucked this out because when I did a search on a summary of the rationalist philosophy of engagement, this came up, and I think it encapsulates the rationalist philosophy of engagement very well. Here it is. She says, "We often encounter persons who hold unreasonable beliefs. I explore how respect informs our response to these persons. I conclude that we ought to be willing or disposed to engage in rational discussion sometimes and to some extent with persons who hold unreasonable beliefs as a way of recognizing and respecting their rational nature." All right, so that does sum it up if you're not familiar with the philosophy of engagement. And that's the whole key point is, no, these people don't deserve respect. These people have gone so far beyond the point of respect that it is stomach churning. They are out there killing people with their incompetence at the FDA. They are out there stealing your kid's present, right? Who even knows about their future? They are stealing your kid's present, right? My daughter has missed Nutcracker performances. You can only be Clara Nutcracker for a couple of years, right? And she's missing those years. And she's worked hard for that. Kids are missing their prom. Kids who worked at football their entire lives missed two varsity football seasons because of this. And a lot of kids only get two varsity football seasons. They are stealing kids' presence. They are stealing kids' lives, let alone their future. They are killing people at the FDA because they won't approve medicines. They won't move through things through in anything like an appropriate fashion. They are stopping tests from being done. They're going out there. They are raiding people who are trying to provide tests that could have diagnosed this, could have nipped this in the bud. And meanwhile, the rationalists are sitting around saying, let's respect these people. Let's respond to them in a rational way. No, you don't get that. You don't get it. Remember that commenter, he became famous on Scott Alexander's site for presenting the conflict theory versus the mistake theory of conflict resolution. And he said the rationalists are like people who are on the mistake theory side. And the rationalists come up and their philosophy of engagement is, ooh, let me show you how you made a mistake here. And rationalists think that everybody is going to be logical like they are and they're going to listen to rational arguments. No. Some people are completely different, and they are the conflict theorists, and their response to a disagreement is not to look for rational arguments or listen to logic. Their response is to punch you in the face, metaphorically, not about violence. Sometimes, actually, with them, it is. I am not advocating violence. but they will call you racist. They write their response to something like this, just like Srinivasan, you know, she's implying Tyler's sexist. Her response is not to look at Tyler's data. Her response is not to engage with him in the way that he's engaging with her, with respect and with deference to, you know, something that he shouldn't be deferential to, but he does anyway. Her response is to accuse him implicitly of being sexist, of being a bad, wrong, evil type of person. And what I am saying to you, now that we move into the fourth part of this, what to do about it and why it matters. What I am saying to you is that rationalists need to start responding in kind. There is a huge segment of the population out there. In fact, I would say a majority of the population that responds not just to logic and not just to data, but also to the vehemence of a message. And a lot of people out there, if they look and they see, oh, you know, person A presented this claim that this pandemic is the worst thing ever and we're all going to die if we don't do exactly what they say and we have to bow down and follow the line or else we're in huge trouble. And person B is responding by saying, let's consider this point by point. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. The large set of the population will look at this conversation and say, oh, person A is really passionate about telling us we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do this. And person B is responding with nothing like passion. Person B is responding with just this tepid, lukewarm response like a robot. Then this large segment of the population is going to look at that conversation. They're going to say, oh, obviously A is right because they're more emotional. They feel more strongly about it. People respond to that thinking. It's not necessarily right, but they do respond that way. And when they see that the rationalist side of this debate is not carrying their argument with any sense of force, with any sort of urgency, then people are going to be like, oh, okay, there's this natural tendency to gravitate toward the side that is screaming, right? The bad stuff, the doom gets our attention. We need to start pointing out, now that's more of why it matters and what to do about it. Here's what to do about it. We need to start pointing out that the doom, the alarmists, they are the ones that are bringing the doom more than the pandemic. The world population, like my friend's pointing out here, world population is still growing even in the middle of this pandemic. Not even by that much different than it was growing before the pandemic. Very little change. And there's no doom in the doom that came to Sarnath here. Sarnath is doing just fine for you H.P. Lovecraft fans in this scenario. The doom has come, or at least could come. At least it's reasonable to think that the doom is coming more from the response to this than the actual pandemic, right? And yet we are the people who are saying, oh, well, maybe we need to hold on here. Oh, maybe we need to question things. We are the ones who are getting insulted. We are the ones who are being called, you know, irrational, when in fact, you know, questioning science is the very nature of science. So that's what needs to happen here, folks, is that people need to get their outrage on. People who are rational, people who do stick to the facts, people who, you know, are not just comedians out there, people who have a reputation and a solid intellectual, they need to respond with some passion here. They need to man up. They need to step it up. Let's look back at our history of our country. How did things happen with King George III, right? So King George III, monarch the U.S. rebelled against 1776, did people stand up and say, oh, let's consider the evidence that's in play with the Stamp Act here. Let's look at one side. Let's do a study. Now, what would be the expected value of the tax money raised from this act imposed on all our paper goods here? And what would be the harms that might come from the other side? No, they didn't do that. They threw the tea in the freaking bay. Okay? It's time to throw some tea, right? I'm here at home. I'm doing a podcast. I'm not in my classroom. I can't be in there. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing? Throw some tea. The Southwest pilots put their jobs on the line. Stand up for what you believe in. What are you doing? People need to be asking themselves, what are they doing? No, threw some tea, right? How did King George III get called out? Well, a great way. This was a little bit later, but Shelley, great poet in England in 1819. This king, old, mad, blind, despised, dying king, mud from a muddy spring, right? Senile, senescent. This is what Shelley used to describe the king. Shelley didn't say, oh, King George III, he's not really supported by the evidence. No, he wrote this amazing poem about it. We need our intellectual, rational class to stand up and attack, draw and engage. Get in there, Maverick, right? How did Thomas Paine talk about the English? Thomas Paine, crowned ruffians who will lay the world in blood and ashes. Who's saying that about the CDC? Who is pointing out that the CDC is diplomat and foolish pallbearers whose mortarboards bear the caskets of hundreds of thousands of Americans? Who is calling out the FDA for being ignorant snobs who pick through the corpses of American kids like biologists scrolling through the spreadsheet data? Who is calling out Biden for being a stuttering, senescent sundowner who can't even place Nevada on a map or remember what a tornado is, much less understand how large the gap is between how the epidemic should have been handled and how it was mishandled? Who is out there saying that Biden, the CDC, the FDA are not to be believed, are not to be trusted? And people who keep quoting the FDA and the CDC are being fools. They are returning again and again and again to a poisoned well. The CDC, the FDA have proven that it is time to get rid of them and they should be scrapped. They can't even admit that they aren't sure what to do. Who is calling these people out? Only comedians, right? You're only seeing comedians. You're seeing Joe Rogan calling these people out directly. Meanwhile, you know, Tyler Cowen, at least he's trying, like his column in the spring of 2020, that one titled Ahem. He mildly, that was the title. He said Ahem. And he's calling out the epidemiologists for failing us. That is too mild. All right. This is not the time for throat clearing. This is the time for full throated accusations of incompetence and wrongdoing and foolishness and idiocy, and in some cases, downright malice on the part of the CDC and the FDA. This is not the time for being kind. We are past that. Okay, so I hope that I have made my point there. Just to reiterate, I went through the four things, right? We went through the four things. First, we stated what the problem was. The problem was that nobody's calling people out effectively, emotionally, with passion, not with dry, oh, here, look, I have a graph for that. Graphs aren't getting it done. Most people out there, okay, so then the symptoms, right? The symptoms are that we're, the rationalists are getting bullied around. The people who are looking at this and saying, oh, maybe a more measured response is more appropriate, they are getting bullied around. Okay? Source of the problem is that philosophy that, you know, rationalists need to approach everybody else and assume that everybody else will be swayed by rational arguments. Certainly, rationalists should offer rational arguments. They should. But they need to very rationally understand, as Steven Pinker says, that a lot of people are irrational and they will respond to other things than just dry data, right? And then what is the cure for the problem? The cure for the problem is that people need to stand up. People need to attack. There is a time to be aggressive. So there you go, folks. That's it for today. It's time to be aggressive. I'm not talking about physical violence. Please understand that. But it is time to be intellectually aggressive. It is time to attack these, you know, denim conflagration, pants on fire liars who are out there running the world, because the people right now is the world right now is being run by people who go to meetings, right? So you guys need to get aggressive. You need to go out there to the meetings and start taking it over. right? Go to a meeting now so your kids don't have to go to the battlefield later. Take care, folks.